pray for one of our ladies that is struggling with some things going on, you know, financial things. So just pray for that. This is a season. This is a joyous season, but it's also a season, a stressful season, okay? And we, you know, you have to understand, we live in a world today that places more emphasis on receiving than giving. Okay? They place more emphasis on the tinsel than the time with family. They place more emphasis on Santa than Jesus. I was watching a program the other night on, and I like Christmas lights. I don't know if you guys, I'm kind of a, I used to really decorate my house. I really went all out. Now I don't go out at all. It's just too difficult, you know. But in the midst of all that, you know, in this program, they were judging five homes that, I mean, unbelievable decorations. Can't understand. One of the homes that I saw was on 5 acres or something, and they had taken this house and made you a tour through this 5 acres, and everything, it had everything different, all kinds of different, but they had like 4 or 5 different nativity scenes. They had crosses up. It was really Christ-centered. And the guy that was judging was real happy. This was great. Then he went to the next home that was marvelous. It was really, you know, really done up good. Lots of different decorations, but nothing to do with the true Christmas spirit. Nothing. All Santas, all this, all that, all the puff and frail, and that's the home that won. So it was a little dismaying of understanding where our emphasis on Christmas is going to. It's on the tinsel, not the family. It's on the Santa, not Jesus. And this is kind of where our culture is heading. You know, I see it time and time again. This morning, Jeremy was brought up to my attention of a guy that was all upset. He was watching it on TV, I guess news media or something, all upset over the nativity scenes being put up in these public areas, and that's not right, and it's throwing religious in. So what he did to combat that, he did beer cans and made something Christmassy on beer cans and says, if they can do it for that, I can do it for me. And you know what? I look at it this way. The last laugh will be Jesus. Who wins? Jesus. Who wins? Jesus. And that being said, in the midst of the good things about Christmas, we miss the most important. The best thing about Christmas is the birth of a Savior for mankind. And that signaled a concrete way the love of God has for each and every one of us. It wasn't Easter that brought in the salvation. It was Christmas. Easter set it up by His blood. Okay, and if He didn't shed His blood for you and I, we would not have salvation. But it all had to start somewhere. And it started on the Christmas night and the birth of our Christ. Hallelujah. That started it all when God came from heaven to come down to this earth and say, I come for mankind. Do you know that He came for you? He came for you. He came for me. He came to be born a mortal being, took off His immortality to put on mortality for you and I. That's what we got to realize when we really understand Christmas. Christmas gives comfort. Christmas gives forgiveness. And what I want to do is take you to 2 people in the Bible that really transport this understanding of comfort and forgiveness into our lives. Okay? With the right perspective, this precious moment will change your life, both here and now in this world and throughout all of eternity. Let us this morning turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 22 through 38. And let's read about two people that made their appearance in the final acts of the Christian drama. One is a man named Simeon, and the other is a woman named Anna. They don't appear in any nativity scenes or any many Christian cards or Christmas cards, but they are significant players in the first Christmas pageant. Both of these individuals were waiting or lingered around waiting for something. Actually, they were waiting for someone. And now, let us read. If you don't mind standing with me, I promise it won't be long. Starting with verse 22. Chapter 2 in the book of Luke. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years before her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And the coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, here are two people that were your servants and loved you dearly, that ushered in Jesus, that worshiped and recognized that he was the Messiah, the Savior of this world. Thank you for that. Anoint this word. Teach us, O God, of what you want. Teach us, O God, to understand what the meaning of these two people really are. I pray this in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Luke, in this scripture, uses a Greek word of anticipation that identifies them as waiting and expecting for the coming of the Messiah or Savior. It literally means that they were alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him. We see this in Luke 2:25 and Luke 2:38. And in Luke 2:25, I like it in the Amplified because it goes on, it reads on to that, but it says, observing the divine law and looking for the consolation of the real, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Looking for. He uses that word looking for. And in verse 38, it goes back to using that same word looking for. Looking for is the Greek understanding of the word that they were anticipating. They were looking ready and being prepared to anticipate the coming of someone. The coming of the Messiah. They anticipated it. They looked for it. And this is what they were. Now, we have to understand there are two different people here that aren't mentioned too much. And in fact, if you look in the Word of God, they're only mentioned in this instance and nowhere else. They're not mentioned as the three wise men coming. You know, you see that on Christmas cards everywhere. But you don't see too much on Simeon or Anna, do you? You don't see much at all. But they were very important aspects of the Word of God and very important what their goal was and what they were to do to usher in our Heavenly Father. Simeon was looking and waiting for comfort. God told him that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah for himself. I believe Simeon was ready to go home. He was ready to go home to be with the Lord. But God said, you will not see death. You will not depart this earth until you see the coming of the Messiah. So he was looking for comfort. And in verse 25 it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and a devout man. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it says something else that I think is very important. It says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was a righteous man. He was a devout man with God. God loved this man. And it says that he loved him so much that the Holy Spirit was laid upon his life. It was upon him. That's why it's so important today for you and I to understand the moving of the Holy Spirit. For you and I to understand that we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without that, you cannot do anything. Without that, it's very difficult to even understand God. Because the Holy Spirit is the administrator of God that helps us get through what we need to get through. The Holy Spirit helps you. Do you know that the Holy Spirit's the one that convicts you? Have you ever felt like there's somebody talking to you saying that you shouldn't do something? And you have the option, right? It's like that little cartoon where you got the angel, the angel on one side and the devil with the red horns on the other. He's got the pitchfork and he's poking that right in here. And you can feel it. Yeah, I'm not supposed to do it. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's your conscience that tells you right from wrong and instructs you. Okay? Again, you're the sum total of the choices you make. You have the choice to say, I abide by that, or say, get off me, angel. I'm listening to this guy. You have that right. Simeon was a righteous man and said the Holy Spirit was upon him. He also said, oh God, I'm old, I'm of an older age, and I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. I mean, I know Pastor Ray and myself have heard numerous of our patients say, why am I still here? I just want to go home. I mean, I don't have any worth here anymore. I'm not doing anything but sitting, laying in this bed. I can't move. Why am I still here? And I don't truly have the answer for them other than I say, well, you know what? God knows. I don't know. But God knows. You know, and that's, if I'd be praying to anyone, I'd be praying to him. You know, I believe Simeon was doing the same thing. He was asking God, why am I still here, God? I'm ready to go home. I've been a righteous and devout man. I know you love me and I love you dearly, but I think it's time. But God had a little conversation with him. He says, not yet. Not until you see the consummation. Not until you see Jesus, the Messiah, and then I'll release you. See? See, he needed that release. He needed that comfort. You know, things weren't going real well for the nation of Israel. They had heard from God for many years, and they were under the Roman rule. God had alienated himself from the Israel nation, so they did not hear from him. They had not heard from him in years. And now they were under the Roman rule, a ruthless rule, okay? They had lost their political independence and were living in fear of capable, crafty, and the cruel king Herod. And many were wondering if the Messiah would ever come. This is where they were going through. You know, I believe that's the same scenario that's kind of happening today. Many Christians today are wondering, Lord, why don't you just come? Take me home. I'm ready. This is a cruel, a devastating world. This society is not what I want anymore. They needed comfort just like I believe today we need comfort. And in verse 26 it said, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Simeon knew something was going to happen. It was promised to him by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And I tell you this, like the Holy Spirit revealed it to him, the Holy Spirit can reveal to you. God wants to talk to you. God wants to communicate to you. And it's up to you to have the ear to listen. Ooh. Amen? Well, Simeon did listen. And because in verse 27, he was led by the Holy Spirit to the temple. That could have been a day he decided not to go. But the Holy Spirit was led. Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit to the temple that exact day, that exact time. Whoa! What's that telling you and I? That the Holy Spirit can lead you and direct your path exactly where you need to be, exactly at the time you need to be there to receive a blessing from the Lord. He can lead. I believe that Simeon lingered and waited with expectation because he knew that Christ would bring comfort to his people. Among Jews of Simeon's day, one of the popular titles of Messiah was Comforter. Do you understand that? Simeon needed comfort. Simeon needed to be comforted. And he knew by the Holy Spirit, I believe in the direction of the Holy Spirit, said, Simeon, you want comfort. Today you go to the temple and you will be comforted. I think he's telling you and I the same thing. You want comfort. Jesus can give you that comfort. You want to be comforted. Then you need to be led by the Holy Spirit to encounter Jesus. And he's the comforter, and he will comfort you no matter what you're going through. The desire to be comforted is a universal human need. We all struggle with loneliness, emptiness, insecurity, even desperation. In fact, the Christmas season is one of the major crisis times of the year of depression and suicide. George Berner reports that over 70 million Americans today are struggling to find some meaning in life, and that over 50% of Americans struggle with some type of depression. The time that this report was made, I believe, could be revised today. Okay, in the season that we're living in, with all the stress that is going on, with all the different financial struggles with going on, with all the Obamacare problems, I mean, come on. I can't get through any radio station on the road yesterday without listening to Obamacare and the struggles that are going through this Obamacare or Homacare or this a care. You know, the only care we need is Christ care. Hallelujah. You know? And that is so true. We're going to have these struggles. We're going to have these problems. We're going to have these things that are called depression And if we allow that depression to fester inside us, it will get to the point where the devil's going to include suicide a part of your depressional means. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Jesus is not the author of depression. Jesus is the author of joy, peace, and comfort. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple courts at just the right time, on just the right day that Joseph and Mary were bringing their infant to the temple. When Simeon looked at the baby Jesus, now he knew that God's promise had been kept. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us to make everything right, to bring in and provide significance by his presence, and to eliminate rejection, fear, and loneliness. That's Jesus. And he does it all. In verse 28, it says, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. Simeon reached down and took Jesus out of Mary's arms and began to praise God. It says at that point in time, the Holy Spirit, I believe, was satisfied. As he broke out into praise, he acknowledged that God had not only fulfilled the individual promise to him, but also the promises of the prophets to send the anointed one to comfort both Jew and Gentile. Do you understand? That's what the significance of Jesus coming to this earth is, to be a comforter, is to give comfort to a world, to a society, to a nation that did not have comfort, to a nation that was depressed, to a nation that was lonely, to a nation that had lost all indication that their Messiah was even going to come. And here he was. He showed up on the scene. And Simeon now was satisfied. Simeon now was saying, now I can go home, for I have seen the anointed one. I have seen the comforter. I have seen the Messiah, eye to eye. You know that he has never mentioned after that date in the Bible. I do believe Simeon in his comfort went home to be with the Lord, went home to be with God. His blessing was relayed, he was comforted, and he was released. There's another person in the Bible that's only mentioned at this point in time. Her name was Anna. And it says that while Simeon was looking for comfort, Anna was looking and waiting for forgiveness. Forgiveness. The other Christmas character lingered and waited with anticipation. That was Anna. After her husband had died, she had dedicated herself to fasting and praying in the temple. In fact, the Bible says that she never left the temple, but worshiped day and night. She was always in church. Now that's my type of lady. She never had to leave. She was always there. She was always praising God. She was always praying for someone. She had anticipation of praying continually for the nation, for the people. That's the type of people we need today. Christians, oh God, that will take that initiative to have the burden so deep in their heart for the forgiveness of a world, forgiveness of a nation, forgiveness that they would be willing day and night to pray and fast for a nation. Whew. Instead of looking for comfort, Anna was looking for forgiveness. If you take a look at verse 38 in the Amplified, it says, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to whom all were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. That word redemption is related to the idea of captivity. The Old Testament Passover and the release of the Israelites from the Egypt slavery stood in Anna's day as the ultimate redemption and the symbol of God's power to release captivities. She understood the Old Testament's philosophy of the Passover. She understood slavery. It was engrafted into them from the time of Egypt on to right now. She understood that. Being that she was in the temple continually, I believe that she read it over and over of one of the highlights of the Israel nation was being released from captivity and the Passover that they did. In fact, it was a religious ritual that they performed every year of the Passover. Okay? So she was very well aware of that. But she was also very well aware that there was more to this Passover than what the Old Testament was giving. That there sooner or later was going to come someone that will take over and take the complete sins away. Complete forgiveness. Not once a year where they had to bring in the goat or the lamb to be slain every year from the priest to give forgiveness. But there was something that was going to give the ultimate forgiveness. And she was looking for the ultimate forgiveness. She was anticipating the ultimate forgiveness. Let me go on. You must realize that the Passover pointed ahead to the day when God would provide deliverance from the slavery of sin through his own Son permanently, and that is Jesus. When Anna saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were waiting for redemption. Here at last was the one who would save his people from their sins. Save them permanently from their sins. No more would there have to be a yearly Passover. No more would there have to do that ritual. No more, because Jesus would pay the ultimate price by laying on of his blood to a world that needed it. Hallelujah. Salvation was given through Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus provides what we need. When Jesus came, he provided the very things that Simeon and Anna were waiting for. God's comfort and God's forgiveness. What does this really truly mean for us in today's world? How is Simeon and Anna's perspective supposed to affect our perspectives of the Christmas story? Those who linger will experience the fulfillment of the promises of God in their lives. Those who wait on the Lord, those who are persistent in seeking after God, will find him. And the bell tells you that. When Simeon and Anna saw the baby Jesus, they rejoiced at the completion of God's promise in their life. When you hear the Christmas story, realize that it signifies the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promise for your life. That he will be your Savior. That he will never leave you nor forsake you. That he wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And that he loves you. Do you understand that? But this morning I want to invite you in this Christmas season to take some time to linger, to wait on the Lord, to let him overwhelm you instead of the world. Instead of your problems, instead of your challenges, let God overwhelm you with the voice of his love through his presence of his Son by the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to learn to do that, because we can get overwhelmed by what the world has to put in front of you. We can get overwhelmed by listening to all the propaganda and problems going on in this world. We need to not get overwhelmed, but we need to linger on to the Holy Spirit and linger on to what Jesus paid, to the price he paid 2,000 years ago. It's still the same price. It's still the same salvation. It's still the same comfort. It's still the same forgiveness. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He heals. He never changes. And just as Simeon and Anna We're lingering and waiting for the first appearance of the Messiah 2,000 years ago. We too can linger and hope for the second appearance of Jesus Christ in our world today, because I do believe Jesus is coming again, and I believe it is coming soon. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom we exalt at Christmas, is not just a baby in a manger. He's not a character in a children's story. He is far more. The first time he came veiled in the form of a child. The next time he comes, I believe he will come soon. He will be unveiled, and it will be abundantly and immediately clear to all the world just who he really is. Hallelujah. The first time he came, a star marked his arrival. The next time he comes, the whole heavens will roll up like a scroll, and all the stars will fall out of the sky, and he himself will light it. The first time he came, wise men and shepherds brought him gifts. The next time he comes, he will bring gifts and rewards for his own. The first time he came, there was no room for him. The next time he comes, the whole world will not be able to contain his glory. Hallelujah. The first time he came, only a few attended his arrival. Only some shepherds and some wise men. The next time he comes, every eye shall see, every eye will see, every head will bow at the presence of our Heavenly Father. The first time he came as a baby. But I believe, and now believe it wholeheartedly, soon he will come as a sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. What are you waiting for this Christmas season? Whatever it is, Jesus has the answer. Jesus can give it to you. Can any one of you identify with Simeon today? Are you hurting right now? You feel lonely, empty, afraid, maxed out. Do you need some comfort? Do you need some counseling? Do you need a fresh sense of God's presence? If so, you can find what you're looking for in Jesus. He came to counsel us right here, right now. Jesus. Or do you identify more with Anna? Are you plagued with guilt this Christmas because of something you've done or the way you've been living? Do you feel like you're trapped in a pattern of sin and that you cannot break out? If you need forgiveness, Jesus can give it to you right now. And I think of no better time in Christmas to do that. Whatever it is, if it's as Simeon that looked for comfort, Jesus gives comfort. If it's like Anna that looked for forgiveness for a nation, forgiveness for a people, Jesus can give forgiveness. And it's all up to you. It's all up to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. It's all about you, Lord. This morning, as you are praying, and I know that you're thinking on Simeon. You're thinking on Anna. Where do you kind of fit into those? I ask you this morning, are you struggling? Are you lonely? Are you depressed? Do you not have the answer? And you just need comfort to know that only the Lord has the answer. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand and let the Lord see you. Be like Simeon and open that spiritual eyes and let Jesus come in right now. Let Him give you the comfort that you need right now. Don't be stressed out in this Christmas season. Be rejoicing in this Christmas season because you have seen Jesus. You have been like Simeon. You have seen the Lord. You have lifted Him up and you have praised the Lord. Lord, I have seen the salvation. Lord, I have seen Your comfort right now. You got to be like Simeon. I take the next step and ask you, if it's not Simeon that's got your heart, is it Anna? Anna was looking for forgiveness for a nation. Anna was looking as a dedicated Christian for forgiveness to a world that needed forgiveness. Jesus came and presented and gave that forgiveness. And today, Jesus is forgiving you. No matter what it is, no matter what it is, raise your hand right now and say, Lord, forgive me. I need Your forgiveness. I need Your comfort. I need You. I need You, Lord. Cry out to God this morning. Cry out to Jesus this morning because He is the answer and the only answer. He came on Christmas time. He was born a mortal child. He lived here 33 years and proved to this world, to humanity, that you can live a righteous life. You can be sanctified. You can live a sinless life because Jesus did it. Now in yourself, you cannot. But if Jesus lives in you, you can through Him. Submit it to the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you see the hands raised, oh God. One, those that were raised for comfort, those that were raised for forgiveness. God, you are the forgiver, and you are the God that gives comfort. Jesus, you comfort us. No matter what we go through, you comfort us, oh Lord. So I pray you lay down, oh God, through the Holy Spirit this morning and comfort us. A nation and a people and humanity, oh God, that needs comfort. In a time in a world that is so stressed out, Lord, we need your comfort. And oh God, as Anna prayed for salvation to a nation, she prayed for forgiveness. Oh Lord, you brought forgiveness. You brought forgiveness, oh Lord, the day on that cross when you bled out for us. When you said it is finished, oh Lord, you said it's finished, not as a weeping person that had no victory, but God is a victorious outpouring of your Spirit to a world that needs you. God, we need you. Forgive us, oh Lord, for all of our faults and failures. Oh God, and look down upon this world, oh God, and continue to look down. I know, Lord, it's hard for the things that I see around us, oh God, and the societies that I see, Lord. I know it's got to be hard that they crucify you day and day in and day out. But God, there are people out there, Lord, that need you. There are people out there, Lord, that need forgiveness, oh God. And I know, Lord, that that's what you came here for, to forgive. You came here, oh God, to forgive. You came here, God, to present and give comfort to all those that want it. Help us, oh Lord, I pray. Be with us, oh Lord, I pray.
Every
Text it on my phone, whatever. I mean, we'll be praying. It's just that because of all the Christmas season, we postponed prayer meeting on Thursday night. Friday night is our Christmas time together. So be there for that. God will richly bless you. Don't forget next Sunday, the Singspiration, the time of singing, the time of finger foods. So we're going to have a great time next Sunday. That is our Christmas Sunday. So please come, bring a friend. Well, let's have a great time this Christmas season. And in your goings about, whether it be at school, work, or wherever, if you find people in need, this is the season above every other season. I believe you need to do it all the time. But this is the season especially. If you find someone in need, bend over backwards to help them. Bend over backwards to help them, because this is a very rough seasonal time. Christmas should be a very joyous time, but for a lot of people that do not know the Lord, it's a very depressing time. And I've heard of a lot of people that just end their lives during this season because they don't have that joy in their heart like you and I have. So remember that. Let's stand. Yes, Lord. Sharon closes in prayer.
Lord, we lift up our hearts to you, Lord. May we await your return, dear God, with anticipation, Lord, that you're going to come as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself so much to us this Christmas, Lord, and let us put you first among everything, Lord. And, Lord, that we would have your comfort, Lord, and your forgiveness, Lord, that we would come to you with open arms and say, Abba, Father, dear God. We pray, Lord, that your anointing rest upon us, dear God, and that your Holy presence would be with us all this week and during this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.